Jesus places a little child in the midst of the disciples who are arguing about who is the greatest. And as he does so, as he makes this sort of acted out parable, as it were, I wonder if Jesus was thinking about the prophet Isaiah. And specifically, a passage in Isaiah chapter 11 that talks about how there will come a day when the wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. See, this is the image that the prophet Isaiah employs when he's trying to describe the time when the promised one would come to restore all things and usher in the reign of God on earth. The day when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, he says. Isaiah describes what he calls a branch from the house of Jesse who will have the Spirit of the Lord upon him. And Isaiah says of this one that he will not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. And the fruit of this promised one's work is this vision of tranquility and peace, with wolf and lamb, lion and calf lying down together, and the little child leading them all. I wonder if Jesus was thinking about this, because when Jesus places a child in the midst of his disciples and embraces her warmly, he is in that very act inviting them and inviting us into a vision of the kingdom that seems completely incoherent to our sensibilities and to our sense of what is even possible, like that of a wolf and a lamb lying down peacefully together. See, Jesus is himself, spoiler alert, Jesus is himself that branch of the house of Jesse that Isaiah talks about. And he's the one who comes to judge the earth with equity. And he comes as the long-awaited Messiah. And Isaiah's words so long ago had carved a deep yearning into the hearts of Jesus' disciples for just this one, for just this kingdom. They longed for this kingdom, and they were ready for it, eager for it in Jesus. But really, as the story of the Gospels progresses, it becomes clear that mainly what they wanted was for this one to come and to strike the earth with the rod of his mouth and to kill the wicked with the breath of his lips. But when Jesus comes, he doesn't deal with the wicked in quite the way that they expect. Instead of overthrowing with violence the tyrannical powers that held Israel captive, Jesus gives himself over to them, even unto death. And he subverts their power comprehensively by his rising from the dead, ushering in a kingdom that is impenetrable to the powers of evil, sin, and death, which are the source of all the corruption of the creatures of God. You see, it is these powers of evil, of sin, and death that have so long held the world and all of us captive. And it is these powers that really make the world as we know it make any sense. Where we feel like the only way forward is to assert our dominance, establish our greatness through force of will and accomplishments. And where it feels only inevitable, if often lamentable, that the strong devour the weak. In his death and resurrection, however, Jesus Christ brings into the world, completely unexpectedly, he brings into this world of posturing and dominance a kingdom wherein whoever wants to be first of all must be last of all and servant of all. Because the one who comes to establish true justice in all the earth does so precisely by giving himself up on the cross. And so, Christ places a little child in our midst. Really, an icon of Christ himself, of the tenderness, the vulnerability, the open welcome that Christ invites us all to partake of. He invites us to welcome others as we ourselves have been welcomed by him. Not based on anything we can do or anything we have done, but simply because we are beloved children of God, tender and vulnerable and completely, infinitely valuable, whether we accomplish anything or not. This is the kingdom of God. This is the economy of grace that we have been brought into. And to be sure, on one level, it makes no sense at all. It is completely counter to the MO that controls so much of our lives, where we have to jockey and posture and assert our worthiness, whether we believe in our worthiness or not, in order to get anywhere. The honoring and the holding up of tenderness and vulnerability is not practical. But then again, neither is Jesus' death and resurrection. In placing a child in our midst, Jesus is inviting us to give ourselves up, to give ourselves over to the grace of his kingdom, to welcome the least and most vulnerable as we would welcome Christ himself. For he himself became the least and most vulnerable so that we might become the great heirs of his kingdom. And so today, may he give us the grace to open ourselves up in tenderness and vulnerability to him and to one another, so that we might learn to find our home in this kingdom where the little child shall lead us all. Amen.